Okay. In a nutshell, the reason LIBOR is going away is, as you can imagine, once it became more than like three or four banks making one loan to the Shah of Iran, and everybody started using this as a base rate for loans all over the world to the count of, I think I saw $30 trillion. It basically became the de facto rate for a number of reasons. One of the reasons it became the de facto rate that was used as the base rate is it was fixed on the exact same date in London at the same hour for a bunch of different denominations, different month, you know, different durations, like 1 day, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 6 months, and 1 year. But it was done for all different denominations, not just U.S. dollars. So it was an easy rate to use. Very few people actually knew how it was put together, and it was one of those rates that I would say when I first started practicing law, first of all, everybody used a fixed rate. And then they went to my bank's prime, which was not necessarily their best rate, was always the disclaimer, plus a spread. And then it went to the Wall Street Journal prime, which is an amalgamation of a bunch of different prime rates. And then all your clients started to wanted to use the big boy rate, that LIBOR rate. And it became the de facto rate, even though no one actually knew what a LIBOR rate was or how it was set. So there was a scandal where the banks that were having to submit what the rate that they would loan to another bank was, that's how LIBOR was fixed. You would ask this question of 12 banks, what is the rate that you would loan unsecured to another bank? They fixed the rate. The way we knew they fixed the rate, even though it had always been kind of a hidden secret that maybe they were fixing the rate, is if you ask that question, and the bank that you are getting a loan from, if you say that the rate that I have to get a loan is 5%, and everybody else's rate out there is 3%, that means your bank is in trouble and your stock price will go down. But there was supposed to be a Chinese wall between the different banks. The traders who set LIBOR and the trading desks and the other part of the bank were not supposed to talk to each other. Well, surprisingly, I can't remember which bank it was, one of these silly traders actually said the truth, said it would cost 5% to get a loan for my bank. Their stock market tanked that night, and the next morning, miraculously, the rate that they could borrow at had gone way down, and their stock price went back up. Nothing had happened overnight. And then it turned out that there were all these kind of, once they got into it, there were all kinds of text messages among the traders saying, yeah, what would you like to fix it at? What would you like to fix it at? Huge paper trail, millions of dollars in fines. And basically the question was, could LIBOR be fixed? And so there was the Financial Conduct Authority in England became the regulatory body for LIBOR. And so before, if you all did LIBOR loans, you saw BBA LIBOR, and then you saw ICE LIBOR. BBA was the British Bankers Association, which would be like having the Mortgage Bankers Association police mortgage banks. IBA was an independent organization set up by the FCA to actually set LIBOR, but it was all regulated by the FCA. And the way it was regulated, and I'm sorry, this is because some of you didn't know LIBOR, this will be it, I'm sorry, you know, for kind of telling you how we got here. But what happened is basically they fixed all the fraud problems. And the way they fixed it is by saying they wanted a waterfall of transparent, eligible transaction data. And then the next thing, if you couldn't find that, then you would use transaction-derived data. In other words, my best guess, hypothetically, based on what transactions would be. And then finally, by expert judgment. Well, what happened is, not too long after they fixed the problem, banks stopped loaning to other banks on an unsecured basis. So there was no data to do LIBOR. So in about 2017, they said, okay, the FCA said, we're not going to keep making banks submit what they could have borrowed at if there's no data and they don't actually borrow at it, because that's just not fair to those banks. They don't want to do it. But because there's so much writing on LIBOR, we will slowly kind of transition it out. And they said by 2021, LIBOR will be no more. So the announcement that they, where we are as of now, is in December of 2021, most of LIBOR ceased. But U.S. dollar settings, the one that we use primarily, were allowed to continue through 2022 through June 30th of 2023. However, no regulated bank, for different reasons, are allowed to make loans based on LIBOR after December of 2021. So you'll notice that you don't see, if you're going to a bank for a loan, you're not seeing LIBOR anymore. They can't, the regulators won't let them. Now, of course, financial institutions that are not regulated can keep using whatever rate they want, but LIBOR effectively will cease being regulated, and banks will cease, the panel banks will cease being required to make submissions in June of 2023. So, where are we? When we knew that LIBOR was going away, all of these countries that have huge LIBOR components had to come up with an alternative rate, and they did. And the alternative rates had to be based on it being transparent, high volume, minimized value transfer. In other words, when I switch the rate, the bank doesn't end up making more money because I switched the rate, or the borrower doesn't make more money. It should be neutral. And in all other respects, what's called IOSCO compliant, which just basically means fair, reasonable,